when he saved this heart of mine by his power and grace divine, he wrought a miracle of love. And then the song that Desi sang said it took a miracle to hang the world in space. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. And that's my subject tonight, the miracle of salvation. Now, I'm going to resist the urge, and I'm not going to take the time. I have promised myself I will not do it, to point out the folly, the absolute folly of what preachers and churches, men and women, are calling salvation today. I'm just not going to deal with it. It's not even worthy of our notice. All the presumption that's associated with decisions, altar calls, repeat the sinner's prayer, I'm just not going to get on that and take most of our time with it. But what I plan to do from Ephesians chapter 1 is defined for you the miracle of salvation, what salvation is, and then you draw your own conclusion. Just about everybody in this town and about half the people in this country claim to be saved. I just don't believe it for a moment. And I'm going to show you what salvation is, the miracle of salvation. And you say, well, we shouldn't judge other people. I think we can judge a man's profession and claim by the Word of God. What does the Word say? And Mr. Spurgeon said one time, if you want to determine whether or not a stick is crooked, lay a straight one down beside it. And when you stand in sight of a brick wall that someone has laid, or a rock wall, or a concrete block wall, know by your eye you can't determine whether or not it's straight. But I tell you what you can do. You can put a line on it. You can put a straight line on it. You can put a plumb bob on it. And that'll tell you whether or not it's straight. So I'm not going to stand up here and tell you who's saved, who's not saved, but I'm going to put the plumb bob on our profession. And that's the Word of God. I'm going to put the line on the wall we've built and the superstructure that we've built on our foundation. And let's see how we come out. Now, here's the first thing, the moving cause of this miracle. The moving cause of this miracle. In verse 3, Paul said, now watch it, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless God. Praise God. This is where everything starts, in the beginning, God. So we bless God who hath blessed us. He blessed us. He's the cause of mercy. He's the cause of the miracle. I read this morning, of God are you in Christ Jesus. Of God are you in Christ Jesus, who himself of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Jesus Christ is the gift of God, and faith in Christ is the gift of God. He has blessed us. Salvation is not something I've done for myself, and salvation is not something I've done for God. Salvation is totally and completely something God's done for me. He has blessed me. That's what it says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. We have found faith. He has blessed us. We're not worthy. We don't merit it. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah didn't earn grace or merit grace or win grace. He found grace. The angel said to Mary, "Thou hast found favor with God." He blessed us. And he blessed us, listen, with all spiritual blessings. Now, we're not talking about the blessings that men today think they can't live without. All of the health and wealth and so-called happiness and all these things that we desire and strive for, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about spiritual blessings. We're talking about the forgiveness of sin. We're talking about sanctification before the law of God. We're talking about being justified before God. We're talking about being redeemed. We're talking about being lifted from the dunghill and washed in the blood of Christ and raised to the right hand of God and seated with Christ Jesus. We're talking about spiritual blessings. And he has blessed us, unworthy creatures, guilty sinners, with spiritual blessings. Now watch the word. All of them. All spiritual blessings. If a man's justified, he's sanctified. If a man's justified, he's righteous. If a man's justified, he has all he needs in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is made unto us all we need. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we're complete. The word is complete in Christ. God, he has blessed us. We have found favor with God. And he has blessed us with all that we need. The believer, the child of God, is sufficient right now to inherit all that belongs to the saints in glory through Christ Jesus. The thief on the cross was not lacking one thing to take him into full glory, the full glory of God. God blessed him with all spiritual blessings. Now watch this. And these blessings are in Christ Jesus. That's where they are. They're in Christ Jesus. Now watch the next verse. According, old Buck George Fletcher came here to Ashland in 1954, and I never will forget his message. I never will forget several messages in that conference. Brother Barnard preached on six stubborn statements. Brother Clarence Walker preached on my spiritual biography from Romans 8, 29 through 31. And George Fletcher preached on Ephesians 1, and here's what he said. He said, "I have to begin where I am. I have to begin where I am. There's no way I can begin anywhere else. I can begin where I am. God has blessed me. God has blessed me with all spiritual blessings. In Christ Jesus, all that I need. I'm sufficient. I'm complete in Christ. I am justified, sanctified, redeemed in Christ Jesus." Now, where did this come from? Why did he do that for me? I take a step back and I see the next verse says, "Because he chose me." It's not because I chose him. 'Tis not that I did choose thee. For, Lord, that could not be. This heart would still refuse thee, but thou hast chosen me. He chose me. I would never choose him. I love him because he loved me. I choose him because he chose me. I seek him because he sought me. I call on him because he called me. According, 'twas sovereign mercy that called me and taught my opening mind. This world would have enthralled me because to heavenly glories I was blind. My heart owns none but thee. For thy rich grace I thirst. I know this, if I love thee, thou hast loved me first." That's what I'm saying. God has blessed me according as he chose me. He chose me. When did he choose me? He chose me, now watch this, in Christ. You're going to notice all the way through this scripture that everything we have is traced to one source. "Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace." He chose me in Christ. Christ be my first elect, God said, and then he chose us in our head. He chose us in Christ. When? Before the foundation of the world. That's when God Almighty purposed everything that he does. The Scripture says, known unto God are all his works from the beginning. God is not waiting to see what will happen. Almighty God declares the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I'll do all my pleasure. Peter on Pentecost declared, you with wicked hands have crucified and slain the Lord of glory. Was that a surprise to God? No, in crucifying the Lord of glory, you did what God determined before to be done. When Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel all got together against the Lord's Christ, they did what God determined before to be done. Everything they said is in the Old Testament. They shot out their lips and said, he trusted God, let's see if God will have. Everything they did is in the Old Testament. They pierced my hands and feet. They plucked out my beard. He sold me for 30 pieces of silver. He came back and put it on the floor. They bought the potter's field. Christ said, I thirst. Everything's in the Old Testament Scriptures. God chose us in Christ before the world began, before the foundation of the world. God never learns anything nor forgets anything. There's nothing new with God. Everything that occurs in time, he decreed in eternity. It has to be so if he's God. Well, for what purpose did he choose us? That we should be holy? That we should be holy. And we're going to be. Are you perfectly holy now? Yes and no. Yes, I'm holy in Christ. With his spotless garments on, I'm as holy as his son. Nearer, so near to God, nearer I cannot be. For in the person of his son, I'm as near as he. I am holy. The Scripture says we are holy and unblameable before him in love, that he might present us faultless before his throne. Yes, in Christ we're perfectly holy. But in the flesh, in this world, I'm not perfectly holy. But when this body's buried and goes back to the dust, and God raises it in the image of his son, then the body and soul will be perfectly holy. And that was his purpose in having a people, that we should be holy and without blame before him. I've always felt that these two words, in love, go with verse 5. In love, having predestinated us. Now, Mr. Fletcher said this, I start where I am. God has blessed me. Who blessed me? God did. I found favor in the eyes of God. I found grace with God. He blessed me with all I need right now, all I need, all spiritual blessings in Christ, according as he chose me. He chose me. Why did he choose us? Why did he choose you and me? Why did he choose the people from every tribe, kindred, nation, tongue, and everything? Because he predetermined. He predestinated. Listen. He predestinated us unto the adoption of children. He says, I'm going to have a people. I'm going to populate heaven. I'm going to have a mediatorial kingdom over which Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. And everybody in that kingdom is going to be like my son, Jesus Christ. That's God's purpose. Well, what's the next line then? Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his own will. Whose will? His will. His will. He predestinated us to be children, to be like Christ according to his will. My will was not consulted. It was changed. My will was not consulted. It was changed. Thy people shall be made willing in thy power. Do you see what I'm saying? You see what Paul said? And he prays, bless God. Bless God. He's blessed me. Bless God because he's blessed me with everything I need in Christ Jesus. And he did that because he chose me, not because I chose him. He chose me. He set his love upon me.
And he chose me, and he chose you, and he chose those whom he did choose because he predestinated, he predetermined that one of these days in the halls of glory, he's going to have a people populate the new heaven and new earth with a people just like Christ. And that was because he willed it. When you go all the way back, and Mr. Fletcher said, now, if you want to start back there with God, then you reverse this thing. You start back there with the will of God. God willed to have a people. And he willed that those people would be like Christ. And he chose them out of every kindred, tongue, tribe, and nation under heaven. And he called them and blessed them with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. And watch verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace. He's going to get all the glory. Now, I'll tell you this. If your testimony and my testimony does not give God all the praise and all the glory, it's certain that this salvation that I have is not of God. Because the salvation that's of God will give him all the glory. Wherein he made us accepted. He made us, just like we are, accepted in the beloved. I'm accepted. God made me accepted. He took me and you and made us accepted. You see, God's so perfectly holy. I wish that I could define the holiness of God. But I said one time, if I could, there'd be no breath left in us. When Isaiah saw the holiness of God, he just felt like he's cut off forever. When John saw the holiness of the resurrected Christ, he felt like a dead man. When Daniel saw the holiness of God, he said his very strength just drained out of him. But God is so immaculately, infinitely, perfectly holy that it's indescribable and incomprehensible, his holiness. And we're so indescribably wicked. Don't you feel sometimes how wicked you are? How contrary to God you are? The wicked, evil birds that make their nest in your mind, doesn't that ever bother you? This is not godly. This is not godlike. This is not holiness. This thought, this word, this attitude, this is not holiness. Then how can I claim to have a relationship with him who is perfect holiness? Now you just say, well, I walk down now. Well, that going to help you? Well, I'll get baptized and wash it away. You really think that'd do it? A dry dog and a wet dog still a dog. Do you really think that some priest can dip a wafer in some wine and stick it in your mouth and make you holy? Do you really? Well, I'll confess my sins. I'll get it off my chest. You've got to get it off your heart. And you got to get it off the books. And confession is not going to get it off the books. Well, what are we going to do? We're going to have somebody do it for us, who is himself already accepted. And that's what he's done here. He made us. He formed us. He changed us. He washed us. He redeemed us. He sanctified us. He glorified us. He made us accepted. He did in the beloved. Now you tell me about your decision. In the light of that, right there. In the light of that, right there, you take me back to the old country church when they were singing "Just as I Am," and the preacher was pulling folks down now, and you went down and made your decision. You may be dead sincere and dead wrong, but this is a miracle. This is a miracle. He blessed me with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly, in Christ, because he chose me. He chose me because he predestinated me to be like Christ. And he did that because he willed to do it. Not because I willed to do it. He willed to do it. And he did it all for his glory. And he made me in Christ accepted. That, Miss Desi, is a miracle. Isn't it? That's what you say. No preacher can do it. You can pray and you can strain and you can grunt and you can grit your teeth and you can make professions and you can beat the altar and you can pray through. Ain't no way. Got to be a miracle from above.
God who said, let there be light. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in these hearts to give us a knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, whose face you'll never see till He reveals Him to you. Watch the second part of this thing now, the procuring cause. Made us accepted in the beloved, verse 7, in whom, in Christ, we have redemption. We have redemption. Our souls have been redeemed, bought back. Bought back. And that redemption, that full redemption, and it's not an effort, it's an effectual work. We have redemption. Not we're going to have, we have redemption right now. Where? Through His blood. Not through His blood in faith, not through His blood in baptism, not through His blood in the law, not through His blood in my deeds. We have redemption through His blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. In Christ we have an atonement at one level. We have redemption through His blood. We have redemption through His blood. And we have the forgiveness of sins. Certain sins, some sins, the blackest sins, the worst sins, the little sins, all sins. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sins. And it's not according to our decision. It's not according to our will or works. It's according to the riches of His grace, which He found in Himself. There is no cause for God's love to be found in me before or after I say. The cause of God's love is found, Tom, in Himself. For God so loved, He gave. In verse 8, wherein He hath abounded toward us. Jesus Christ hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And He made known unto us, watch this, He not only redeemed us, but He enlightened us. He made known unto us that mystery of God's will. Brother Mann, where do you find all this that you get here out of these verses? And when the Joe read in the study tonight, that rock was Christ, and that Passover lamb was Christ. And God's mystery of election, and God's mystery of the church, and the mystery of the Gentiles. Well, Christ made it known to me. I see it in Christ. You see, when people start reading the Bible and trying to find the mystery of God's will in these facts and doctrines, they always, the veil is always on their face, just like the veil is over the face of Israel. They tried to find God in the law. They tried to find God in the ceremony. They tried to find God in the feast days. They tried to find God in these things. And God's only found in Christ. And when you see Christ, you see the whole mystery of God's will unfolded in Christ. And the more you learn of Christ and know of Christ, the more you learn and know of that mystery of God's will. That's right. When you see the shepherd, you see the chief shepherd before the world began. When you see the blood, you see the blood of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. When you see God's grace manifested in a man, you see God's purpose in that grace from before the world began. You see the mystery. And Christ made known unto us the mystery of His will. And He did it according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Him. One day our Lord Jesus Christ lifted His eyes to heaven and He said, I thank You, Father. I thank You, Father, because You've hid these things. You've veiled them and covered them from the wise, the so-called wise and the prudent of this world. And You've revealed them. You revealed Your mysteries and Your grace and Your love to babes. I thank You. For even so, Father, it seemed good in Thy sight. And I do too. I thank You. I thank Him because I'm a babe. He came to save sinners, and I thank him because I'm a sinner. He came to seek and save the lost, plumb lost. People so lost, they don't even know the way back. People so lost, they can't find the way back. People so lost, they can't decide to go back. Somebody said, well, maybe the sheep will decide to come back. You want to bet on it? He's going to keep on wandering the wrong way until the shepherd goes out there at the risk of his own, at the risk of himself. He goes out there and gives himself to find that sheep, put him on his shoulders and bring him back. He made known unto us that mystery. Look at verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. All things in Christ. Now watch this. Listen to this carefully. He's going to gather together all things in Christ. When were they put in Christ? Before the world began. When were they justified in Christ? When he died on the cross. When were they, it was revealed to them and they were brought to a fullness of that relationship? When they believed. They're in Christ. In Christ. And he's going to gather together all these are in Christ which are in heaven. Already in heaven. Abraham, Moses, David, and which are on this earth. Which are now on this earth. Those even in him. Not in the church. Salvation not in the church. Not those who are in good standing. Salvation is not in good standing. It's in Christ. God's going to gather together his elect from the four winds. His elect in Christ, in heaven and earth. Verse 11, in whom we have obtained that inheritance. That's in Christ, in whom we have obtained. Paul said, I didn't earn salvation, I obtained mercy. I didn't earn grace, I obtained it. I obtained that inheritance. Be predestinated. I tell you, every time I see that word, I think of all the events in life. That's what God is predetermined. He's predestinated the means. Back down before the world began, he set his love on a people. He chose them individually. God is so magnificent and so mighty, so powerful, that everything is done with such precision that one day is 1,000 years in his time. 1,000 years. One day. 1 hour is 100 years. Or 50 years. In 1 hour. One minute is so many weeks in God. It's so planned out. And he chose his people in Christ. And he predetermined Christ coming into the world. He predetermined all those patterns and pictures and types of Christ's death. Right down to Christ came and our Lord walked this earth. And everything he said and did, he did the will of his Father, spoke the words of his Father, accomplished the task and mission of his Father and died. And everything they did to him, God determined, predestinated. He was buried, rose again, went to glory. And then I came along. And I was born at the precise time that God predestinated me to be born. To whom and where? Did my father live where God determined him to live when I was born? And the people with whom I associated and the route I chose. I chose my route. I chose my school. I chose my time in the Navy. Somebody called me up here to be an assistant pastor and I came. But let me tell you something. Every step I took, every decision I made, was recorded in the book. Recorded in the book. Written by the hand of God. And I simply did what God determined before to be done. You believe that? Well, I know that, sir. He predestinated me. You think it was an accident that I hit this town the same day Rob Barnard hit this town? And I passed. You think that was an accident? He's the only man in the South preaching the gospel at that time. God predestinated. And all the devils in hell and all the fallen angels and all the demons of the world could not stop that predestinated purpose of God. That's right. That's right. He predestinated being, watch this, I have obtained, verse 11, in whom, in Christ, I have obtained an inheritance, being
predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things.
The falling of a sparrow. Not a sparrow falls to the ground without your Father. That's right. All things. There are no accidents with God. He predestinates all things after the counsel of his own will.
Joseph's brothers stood in front of him and they were grief-stricken over the way they treated him. And he looked at them and his mind was going back over the throne and the jail and the mistreatment in Potiphar's house and the slavery and the pit and the hatred of his brothers. And all those things, the things that they'd put him through. And he said to them, yeah, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And I forgive you of every bit of it because you were just a second thought. I believe that. I don't want to believe it. I know that. It's got to be that way. It's got to be that way. His sheep, they are lost to them, but he knows where they are. His sheep may be wandering around out yonder. I don't know who they are, but he does. And they might be wandering around in Timbuktu, but I guarantee you they're there because he predetermined for them to be there. That woman didn't accidentally come to that well at noon. My Lord's sitting there waiting on her. Old Zacchaeus didn't accidentally climb that certain tree on that certain day. God put him up that tree, and God brought him down. That Philippian jailer didn't happen to have duty that night. He had duty that night because God assigned it to him from all eternity. Lydia didn't just happen to be at the riverside that day. She might have had a cold and stayed home. No, God brought her there. All the way from Thyatira. Wonder where she came from? She met Paul. And I tell you this, if God ever saves you, you're going by his predestinating purpose cross the path of his dear son someday. The real Christ, not this other Jesus that's preaching. I'm talking about the one that has the power to save. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory. He said, preacher, you're really making salvation a miracle.
That's my title. It's a miracle.
It's a miracle. A miracle only God can perform. Only God can perform. And I'll tell you this. Any man who cannot ascribe to God all the credit and all the glory for his salvation from beginning to end is not saved. Doesn't matter who it is. Not yet. God may save him someday. He's not yet. Because God's not going to share his glory. All right, here's the third, the effectual cause. You say, what about repentance? What about the response of the sinner? Oh, he's going to respond. What about faith in Christ? He's going to believe. What about a committal to Christ? He's going to commit. I'll tell you this, when such great love is manifested toward a man, it's going to bring him lock, stock, and barrel. It's going to bring him 110%. That's right. Well, watch verse 13. In whom? Here we're still in whom, aren't we? In whom we have redemption. In whom we have obtained an inheritance. And now in whom we trust it. You don't try Jesus, you trust him. I see these signs, try God. You don't try God, you trust him. You either trust him 100% or you don't trust him at all. Trust him. In whom you trust him. This in whom we were chosen. This in whom we were redeemed. This in whom we were predestined. This in whom we have obtained an inheritance, in whom we trusted. When did you trust him?
After you heard the word of truth. That's when you trusted him.
You see, you can trust this kind of God. This God, now watch it now. This little God, this little free will Arminian God can't be trusted because he just might let you down. He just might not be able to save you. He just might not be able to keep his word. But when you talk about God choosing us, and God justifying us, and God calling us, and God keeping us, when you hear that God, when you hear that Christ, you can trust him. You can trust him.
in whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth. What was this word of truth? It was the gospel of your salvation. It wasn't the gospel of your invitation. It wasn't the gospel of your cooperation. It wasn't the gospel of your participation. It is the gospel of your salvation. See what I'm saying? The gospel of your... My salvation's finished. You say, when was your salvation finished? When Christ said, it's finished! That's when it was finished. Our Lord said, I finished the work you gave me to do. What work did he give him to do? To save the lost. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And when he said, I finished this work you got, I saved the sinners. And this gospel is not a gospel of cooperation, not a gospel of invitation. It's the gospel of declaration, proclamation. When you hear this, when you hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, that's when you trust him. And watch this. In whom? You never get away from that in whom. In whom also after you believe. Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Do you believe Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep? Do you believe Jesus Christ, the effectual atonement? Do you believe Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd and great high priest? Do you believe that? Well, when you believe that, you're sealed, sealed, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, sealed. And I mean you won't fall. You're sealed. I give this illustration. Some of you heard it 100 times. I'll give it again. But when these ladies do their canning, they put the jars and the beans or whatever in that pressure pot and cook them and heat them and get all this stuff done, and they tighten the lid and send them over there and send them over there. And then they'll go over here and be working on some more, and their ears tuned over there for what? Won't hear that pop. What's that? See them. They won't fall. Now, if they don't, they'll fall. And they do it all over. But that's it. And when they hear that, they go put them in the pantry. They don't go back and look every day to see if they're still good. They know they're good. They're sealed. And I worry about them falling. And I'm not worried about one sheep of Christ whom God chose and God called and Christ justified. I'm not worried about one of them falling, because when they believe on Christ, they are sealed in Christ by the Spirit of God. Baptized into the body of Christ. I know we're running around all these silly preachers talking about getting the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in gibberish. They're just a bunch of con men and merchandisers of souls and lost wandering goats is what they are. We are sealed. Let me show you that in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 1, I believe it is. 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians 1. Listen to this. You trusted Christ after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. After you believed, you were sealed. Verse 20, 1 Corinthians 1, listen. For all the promises of God, all the promises of God. 2 Corinthians 1:20. 2 Corinthians 1:20. All the promises of God in Christ are yes. In Christ are amen. So be it. Unto the glory of God by us. Now, he which establishes us with you in Christ Jesus and hath anointed us is God Almighty. That's who did it. And he also hath sealed us, given us the earnest of his Spirit in our hearts. You see that? He did it. He did it. Now watch the last verse here in Ephesians 1, verse 14. He sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise, verse 14, which is the earnest. Tom said the token or pledge of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. What is that earnest? Well, a young man and young woman fall in love. And he says, I want you to marry me. And she says, I will. And he gets an engagement ring. And he puts it on her finger. She's not his wife yet, but that's his pledge. That's his earnest that she's his. And the Holy Spirit, I'm not like Christ yet. I'm going to be someday. I'm going to be forever joined to him. But he's given me an earnest. He's given me a token, a pledge that I'm his. And that's his Holy Spirit who dwells within us. He's our earnest. That's right. He's the earnest of our inheritance. It's like when Joe Terrell and them, we bought that building up there. We're trying to raise the last bit of money to pay for it. But they put $10,000, what it's called, earnest money. Earnest money. And you know they're already occupying the building? Because earnest money let them have immediate possession. And the Spirit of God is my earnest. And God has, he's got full possession. I'm his, and he's mine. And one of these days, the transaction is going to be complete. And he's going to raise me from the grave. Now, there it is. That's the miracle. That's the miracle. And what I invite you to do is draw your own conclusion. Draw your own conclusion. He chose us. Christ redeemed us. And the Holy Spirit called us. And that's a miracle. Especially when you look at some of us. That is a miracle. But you know, he's chosen the foolish things. He's chosen the weak things. He's chosen the base things. He's chosen the things that are despised. Why? That no flesh should glory in his name. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. All right, let's turn to a closing hymn, which Mike will announce for us at this time.